get cranked up on that. You know, what'd you say? Yeah. So we're going to go to Acts chapter 11. And it's exciting. Amen. The overview of chapter 10, the very last part of chapter 10, it said the Holy Ghost fell on all of them who heard the word, and on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Yes. For they heard them speak in tongues and magnify God. Hey, I want to do that all the time.
Amen.
Amen. And you know, some people get a little bit nervous when you say Holy Ghost. Because I'd probably say 10, 15, 20 years ago, they wanted to change it to Holy Spirit because it was not scary. Let me just say that. Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, they're the same. Well, in one, you know, they're the same. And, but they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter said, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?"
Yeah.
And Peter commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and back then, they just went to the water. That's why I chose that song.
Yeah.
I've been to the water, and I've been baptized. Because back then, it was in the creeks and in the ponds and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Fishes were in there, and they'd tickle your legs, you know? Hey, it was wonderful. It was wonderful. So a little bit of the history of chapter 11. It spans over the years of 39 to 45 A.D. That's a long time ago. There's a major turning point, though, in the early church when the message of the gospel expanded to the Gentiles. Up to this point, this Jews. And, you know, a side note there is the Jews had nothing in common because their rules were a whole lot more strict than the Gentiles.
Yeah.
Their diets was strict, still is in the Jewish sect. Their clothing, totally different than what we wear today, because there was times when even we didn't even wear pants. Right, yeah. You wore dresses. Their heads were covered in, they are covered in public. All Jews cover their head, unless they're a Messianic Jew. That's a little bit different. They've decided to get free. But real Jews, and I know that because of Gordon's family, Gordon's sister's family, they cover their head in public. They will not, a man cannot walk out of the house without a hat on. Cannot. Their head can't be seen as far as, you know, their hair and stuff like that. They did not eat or socialize with any Gentiles. The early Christians had to confront. Here's what they did. They had to confront and tear down the prejudices that was there, the cultural prejudices that was there at that time.
Yeah.
They had, this is Brenda talking. I didn't find this anywhere else. They had to embrace a new vision.
Yeah.
And we have to do that sometimes even now. Because we get set in our ways.
Yeah.
They had to shed light on the critical importance of acceptance, traditions, and we all have them, unity, and how it affects us in our modern world.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is. So there was five main people in Acts 11. Peter, he was one of the 12 apostles. His brother was also an apostle named Andrew. They were fishermen. They were the first disciples to follow Jesus. It was Peter and his brother Andrew. Peter is known for walking on the water. I've tried that before and it didn't work. Oh, no, it don't work. That's right. I like that, Mary. He also became a key leader in the early church. He worshiped God. He followed with the Gentiles and continued to spread the gospel. Amen. Cornelius is in this chapter. He was a Roman soldier, and he was not a Jew. He was like us. He wasn't a Jew. He was first a Gentile. He did convert to Christianity. He was a wealthy man. He feared God, and he worshiped the God of Israel, and he gave to the poor. So that tells us he was very generous with what he had. Barnabas was a Jew who feared God. He was a disciple of Jesus and a missionary. Many of you know his nickname was Son of Encouragement. And he was known for his generosity of supporting the poor. He was full of the Holy Ghost. And, you know, these are great guys right there. We get down to Saul. Now, you know, Saul became Paul, but Saul was a murderer. He persecuted the early church. And he was the first king of Israel in the Old Testament. After his conversion, he became the Apostle Paul. And he declared to others that Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God. Not everybody believes that, you know. And then the last person, and he's not very much in this chapter, but is at the end, Agabus. He was a prophet. They say that he was one of the 70 disciples of Jesus. He was a prophet of God, and he was known for predicting a famine in the reign of Emperor Claudius during the time of 41 to 54. He was a good guy. He saw things, and he predicted that famine was coming. And you know, even in our world, we hear predictions sometimes through the media. Well, this is fixing to happen. Well, this is fixing to happen. We've seen that in our lifetimes. All of us have, because we're old enough to have known that. So let's go right to chapter 11. This chapter opens with the apostles and the brethren in Judea, and they heard that the Gentiles had received the word of God. That's a wow. They heard the Gentiles. They're not that the Gentiles received the word of God. And Peter is criticized and questioned because he's eating with Gentiles, which are not circumcised. That was a big thing back then. It is a big thing in the Jewish faith. Verses 5 through 10, Peter explains where he was. He says, and this is what, I love this part right here. I was in the city of Joppa praying in a trance and saw a vision. Don't you like it sometimes when you see a vision? I can't say I've seen any lately, but you know what I mean? A certain vessel descends like a sheet from heaven with four corners. And it came to me. He saw four-footed beasts, wild beasts, creeping things, and fowls of the air. Then God said, "Arise, Peter, slay and eat." Peter says, not me. I'm not doing that. Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth. That's what Peter said. And out of heaven comes a voice that said, what God has cleansed, do not call common. And this happened three times. The sheets down, and three times they told him, do not call it unclean, common and unclean. Because you see, God said, what I have cleansed, do not call common. And we should neither. This happened three times, and then the sheet went back up. You know, it had this sheet with all these four-footed animals and all these different species. And that would have been scary to me. If I'd have been Peter, I'd have been, well, he was in a trance, but still, he saw the vision. That's a little spooky, you know. Maybe that's just me, but then we go to verse 11 through 18. He said, and behold, immediately, after that sheet was drawn up, immediately there were three men who appeared in the house, sent from Caesarea. Now, that was a suddenly to me. That's all I could think of. A three men who appeared. They didn't walk in there. They appeared in there. As a suddenly, it was a transformation from the Spirit of God right there in that room. And the Spirit of God said, go with them and do not doubt. Don't hesitate. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. You know, don't be afraid, because we're going to be afraid when that happens. And I mean, in the flesh we are. So six men went with Peter to a man's house and showed how he had seen, he told them, I should say, how he had seen an angel standing in his house, and he said to him, send me to Joppa, call for Simon, whose name is Peter, and he will tell you how all your house will be saved. I tell you, I thought I was going to start shouting when I wrote that down. He's going to tell you how all your house will be saved. And as he began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them. As on us at the beginning, it says. He said, then I remembered the word of the Lord, how that John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now, we get scared about that ghost part, but all my life, it was Holy Ghost. But through the years, it began to change, Brother Charlie. Well, you've been with us a long time. It changed. And it was the Holy Spirit, because we didn't want to scare nobody. Sometimes I can't help but say Holy Ghost. That's why I sang that song tonight. God granted to the Gentiles repentance that leads to eternal life. And that was a big one, because the Jews were God's people. It was the Jews. And all of a sudden, it's going to change. Yeah. It changed. We're all included now. We're grafted in. Amen. Verses 19 through 24, the believers had fled from Jerusalem during the persecution after the death of Stephen. And they traveled to Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching only to the Jews. And the one of the quotes in the Bible said, the hand of the Lord was with them. I tell you, I want the hand of the Lord to be with me at all times. And it said many were saved. Barnabas was sent to Antioch, and he saw the grace of God in his life, in his ministry. That's what it said. He saw the grace of God and was glad, exhorting them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave to the Lord. And cleave is getting pretty darn close to him. I want to be so close to God that at times we mirror who he is in our spirit. We want people to see Jesus in us. Let me say that. I want people to see Jesus in me when we're out singing. And sometimes it's hard to be still. Sometimes it's hard for me not to just want to move around because I get so excited. You know, we all ought to do that sometimes. I don't know if I read this scripture, but this part, but I'm going to read it again. Barnabas was sent to Antioch, and he saw the grace of God and was glad, exhorting them all. That's encouraging them that with the purpose of heart they would cleave to the Lord. He was a good man. He was full of the Holy Ghost and faith, and many people were added unto the Lord. And every one of us wants to be that person that can not be afraid and go up to somebody and say, do you know Jesus?
Yeah.
But we're scared to do that sometimes. Tony's pretty good at it. When I'm around him anyway. Gary's done that a few times. Gordon has too. You know, I have too. But we need to do it more often because we don't know who's saved and who's not saved. And we know that time is getting short. And we know that we have got to seek and save the lost while we're here. In verses 25 through 30, Barnabas goes to Tarsus to find Paul. Saul, Paul, it's the same person. And they went to Antioch. And the disciples, I love this little line. The disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. That is so cool to me. And Agabus, he's only mentioned this part right here, was a prophet. He predicted worldwide famine coming over all the world during the days of Claudius Caesar. And we've heard, in my lifetime, I've heard predictions of things. You know, this is fixing to happen. Get ready. Sometimes it happened and sometimes it didn't. But the disciples and the believers in Antioch took up offerings and sent it to the brethren and to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. You know, God made provision and he made sure that each and every person and the prophets and the disciples had what they need. And you know what? God does the same thing for us. We may not think that he is doing what we feel like he needs to do so that we can do what we need to do. But I can really say this. I can say this because we've traveled a lot with singing and stuff with Mercy Song Revival. And never one time have we walked away and wondered, is there going to be enough money to get home? There's always going to be more than enough when you step out in faith and do what God tells you to do. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. The money might get a little bit low. We all have those issues sometimes, but I'm telling you, he will not fail you. He's always there. So I had five little points of an application. I wrote these myself, so you're not going to find it in your phone. The Jews were caught off, and I'm talking about the Jewish people. They were caught off guard when God invited Gentiles to be a part of his kingdom.
Oh, yeah.
No, they were not expecting to be a part of that. And like I said right now, full-fledged Jews and Gentiles do not mingle as a general rule. Now, we mingle a little bit when his sister and brother-in-law comes down and we visit. We do not eat a meal together. We just sit at the table and talk. That's it. Because we're Gentiles, and they converted to Judaism.
They do.
Number two, we must follow God's plan and not lean to our own understanding. We lean to our own understanding many times before we ask God. Sometimes we lean to our own understanding and then we ask God. We're going to do what we want to do and then we'll ask God. And I think that's really important. We have got to follow God's plan and not lean to our understanding. Number three, be kind and welcoming to people no matter who they are or what they look like, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We welcome people. We invite people. And it is harder today than it was yesterday's. To get people to go to church.
Yeah.
They can watch it at home. You know, that's just how it is today. Number three, be kind and welcoming to people, no matter who they are, what they look like, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know. We've got to greet them. We've got to, and I'm saying this for our house here. We've got to welcome them, try to speak to them. I try to speak. You know, sometimes I'm up here trying to get things ready, you know, and then later I think, oh, Lord, Brenda, what are you doing? You know. All right, number four, be careful what you do for God that it is not seen by others. A lot of people want to do things for God, but they want to be seen. I want to be hid behind the cross. I'm not doing anything to be seen. That's not important to me. I don't care. I don't have to be seen. I don't have to sing. I don't have to be seen. But I'm going to be at church. But some people, they have to be seen. And we know people like that. We all know people like that. And number five, last one. We must challenge ourselves to look past our own walls to help those in need. And we have needs in Alvarado. We have needs in Johnson County as a whole. We must challenge ourselves. And I feel like sometimes we do a really good job at that. I really do. We reach out to people. We fellowship with other churches. You know, I mean, that's just what we do. But we're not doing things so that they see us. We want to, you know, we want to do things because God says do it, you know. But we must challenge ourselves to look past our own walls to help those in need. And may we be Christ-like, willing to help others, no matter who they are. And I'd said that earlier. No matter who they are. No matter what they look like. You know, the poor's going to always be with us. That's just how it is. That's what the Word says. The poor will always be with us. And I may not have $1 million in the bank, which I don't, not even close. But you know what I mean. If somebody says they need something, I'm going to give it to them if it's in my ability to do so. And so I just, I thank God that He is good.
Yeah.
He's good all the time.
All the time.
He doesn't fail us. And when we're struggling, he picks us up. When we can't see our way or which way to go, he shows that to us. And so, does anybody else have something to say? Yeah.
Well, y'all can't do it right there. You give him the box.
You talked about the Gentiles.
Yeah.
They're over here. They're different from the Jews. Jews
are
over here. And I think about my growing up, and I was in the Baptist church most of the time.
Well,
when I went to church, my aunts took me to church. Mom and Dad didn't go to church enough. So my aunts, you know, they'd take the kids. You know, they thought the kids have got to go if the parents won't go. So my Aunt Esther took me to the church, and she took me. It was a little Assembly of God church. And I went out to my grandmother Wallace's a lot, and she went to Assembly of God church. And I didn't realize, and I have in later years, I was not unlike the Gentiles. I might not have understood the Holy Ghost. But I remember my Aunt Esther saying those words sometime, and they would say them in their normal, just their normal conversations. They'd be something happening, and she'd say, "Oh, sweet Holy Ghost," you know, in their conversation, and go on. My grandmother would too. She'd be going around the house working and saying something, and I'd come to her with some little "Look here, Granny," she'd say, "Oh, sweet Holy Ghost, you know, you're so sweet," and all that, you know, just, and it was normal conversation for her. And I remember that later on. And then Linda talks about, you know, her family had always known that. That type of worship and that type of church service. And she said a lot of times, she said, I was even afraid to take Gary to church when I met him because they might have scared him to death. But I look it back on all of this, and it was God preparing me, I think, you know, for what he wanted later on. And I thought of it again when you said, you know, Gentiles are over here and the Jews are over here, and they all need to be over here, you know, where the Holy Ghost is.
That's right.
So that's why the Lord allowed the Holy Ghost to be dropped on the Gentiles. And there is a part in there, another point I wanted to make up. When Peter went out, the Lord told him to go out doubting nothing.
And I
think about that, and I'm thinking that's the way we should all be when we go forward. We have the Holy Ghost. Why shouldn't we go out doubting nothing?
I agree.
Because the God we serve can do everything.
Yes.
Anyway, that's my two cents, sister.
Yes.
And it was wonderful. Thank you for bringing all that back to my memory.
Hey, can you turn this off for just a minute? I just want to sing a little chorus.